Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Today, we are talking all about abbreviations in English. In case you're not familiar with this term, an abbreviation is a shortened form of a word or phrase. For example, we might say FYI instead of for your information, or ASAP instead of as soon as possible.
There are so many abbreviations in English, and even different types that can be a quite confusing area for learners and natives alike. Not only will you come across abbreviations in your work, studies, and general daily life, but they are also such a huge part of communication nowadays, especially when texting or sending online messages or emails. So don't worry, in this podcast, we will clarify the various types of abbreviations and also teach you some of the most common ones.
Also, as this is such a big topic, we have a special lesson for you over on our Instagram at reallife.english, where you can learn even more. So check that out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
relaxing
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, making a sandwich, celebrating your birthday, or even...
cooking up a storm in the kitchen.
I'm joined here in the virtual Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going well, thank you. I'm a little bit, I don't know, I feel like I sound a bit, what we would say, bunged up because
bunged up.
My allergies are a bit bad today. Yeah. So
I think in American English, we would call that stuffed up.
Ah, yeah, when you have a bit of congestion. Mm-hmm. I've been sneezing a lot this morning.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just gotten so cold here in Barcelona all of a sudden that I'm kind of feeling the same. I'm not feeling 100%. Mm-hmm. But... We mentioned a couple of things there in the intro. So first of all, what does it mean to cook up a storm?
Yeah, so if you're cooking up a storm, it means that you have lots of energy and you're cooking lots of things in the kitchen with lots of enthusiasm.
And I also mentioned that maybe you could listen to this while you're celebrating your birthday. And I said that because it was just your birthday, right?
Yes, I was celebrating my birthday just yesterday.
Did you cook up a storm or did someone cook up a storm for your birthday?
Yes, a lovely restaurant cooked up a storm for my birthday and it was a really good meal.
That's always much better than having to cook up a storm for yourself. I know for me, at least, like I tend to prefer to cook my own birthday cake because I'm not a big fan of the type of cakes that they do in Spain. In general, it's like more of a sponge cake, what we'd call. And I don't know about you, but I really prefer like the American ones that we have that are much more moist and they tend to be like thicker and with loads of frosting. So
yeah, I had a really good carrot cake. It's one of my favorites.
I love carrot cake.
Yeah, and it was a really good one. I'll tell you the name of the place if you want to try it because everything was good. The frosting, the main sponge, it had lots of nuts and carrots and everything. Oh, it was delicious.
And as always, we are recording before lunch. And so we always tend to veer towards food, don't we?
Always.
But getting back on topic, we are talking about abbreviations today. But before we get into that, we have a shout out for a very special app user and listener of the podcast.
So today's shout out is from Iñaki Sanchez, and he says, very good app. I have been listening to the podcasts for a while and they are very good. So finally, I decided to download the app and it's really awesome. It has the transcripts of the conversations and the possibility to keep chat conversations with random people. Simply amazing. Many thanks for the good job you have done to keep everything running. Sorry for not giving a 6-star review because you deserve it indeed.
That's so sweet. Do you reckon Iñaki is from Spain? Because I believe Iñaki is a Basque name.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, especially because of the surname is Sanchez as well. But I didn't know it was a Basque name. But yeah, I definitely thought from Spain.
It's the equivalent of Ignacio or Ignatius in English, I guess. I don't think that name is really used in English very much, is it?
Probably not nowadays, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's more of an old name. But I get that would be our neighbor in the north. So great to hear from you, Iñaki. I'm so glad that you're enjoying the app, getting to practice your speaking and improving your listening with this podcast. And if you want to also take your listening to the next level with this podcast, then give our app a try. All you have to do is search for Real Life English in the Apple app or Google Play Store, or you can click the link in the description of this podcast. And the great thing there is you get an interactive transcript so you can follow along while you're listening. And we also give you all of the most important vocabulary definitions so that you don't miss anything. And then you can jump into the speaking part of the app and practice your English fluency. So that said, before we get into today's main topic about abbreviations, we have a burning question from another one of our listeners.
Yes, today's burning question comes from Myrin, so let's have a listen.
Hi, Andrea. This is Myrin from Colombia. And my question is, do you think a non-native English teacher is qualified to teach pronunciation? Thank you.
That's a very interesting question, Myrin. So I would say most certainly. In some cases, a non-native teacher could be more qualified than a native teacher to teach pronunciation, because if that's something that they have worked on themselves a lot, then they might have more knowledge. So it's not so much about being a non-native or a native. It's more so about, like, what's the teacher's experience? How much knowledge do they have about this? Is it something that they've worked on a lot themselves? And in some cases, too, it could be really useful because, say, Myrin is from Colombia, right? So if your teacher is also a native Spanish speaker and they've gone through the same challenges of having to learn English pronunciation from Spanish, then maybe they can give you some suggestions that will help you going from Spanish to English pronunciation that someone from the USA or from the UK, if they don't speak Spanish, might not be able to do that. So in some cases, too, it could even be more beneficial to have a teacher who speaks your native language.
I agree. I think it's not really just about the person being native or non-native here. It's more about their experience and their qualifications as a teacher. Like, especially just as you said, you might find a non-native teacher that has been through certain processes, has found lots of different resources that work for them or different ways of practicing that could be really beneficial for you as well. And maybe they have more knowledge of certain things, like they've looked more into IPA and other things. So I agree with you there. I think it just depends. So you kind of have to ask them what their experience is with it. Maybe it's a non-native teacher whose pronunciation you really admire, and they can really help you out with that. So it could be really beneficial.
Most definitely. And as with anything, you really need to do your homework. And I don't mean like doing your homework in your English class. That's an expression that we'd use to mean like you need to do your proper research. Anytime I've learned a language with a teacher, I usually will try out 2 or 3 or 4 teachers before I actually decide on who I want to teach me, because I like to see what their different styles are, who I have good chemistry with, who I feel like is best suited to help me in my learning goals. So the same for you. If you are looking for a teacher to help you with your pronunciation, you might want to try some different teachers, maybe some non-natives, some natives, to find someone who has a really good fit with you, who you really like their teaching style and specifically aligns with your goals. So if your goal is pronunciation, then try to find someone who has kind of like their specialty is helping people to improve their pronunciation or reduce their accent.
Yeah. So thank you, Myrin, for your question. It was a very good one and different to ones we've had so far. If you would like to send in your burning question, you can do so by emailing me, andrea@reallifeglobal.com. So you just have to say your name, where you're from, and your question, and then you might be featured on the podcast soon and listen to our answer. So don't be shy. It's a really good opportunity to practice your English. You can listen to your voice on the podcast as well. It's an amazing thing that you can talk about. So don't be shy. Actually, take the plunge and send in your question to us.
Ooh, take the plunge. What does that mean?
It means it's another way of saying go for it, isn't it? Like, yeah, because it might seem like a challenge or quite a difficult thing to do, but it's like, just go for it.
Right. We kind of use that. It's like one of those sort of metaphoric expressions, isn't it? Because it's
it's as if to take a plunge is like to jump into water, right? Like if you're diving off of something into water, you're taking a plunge. And we might say similarly, like take a leap. So it's kind of like this mm-hmm. idea that you're jumping off something high or you're jumping, you know, to something far away or something. So it's kind of just get up your courage and do it. And so we better leap right into the main topic because we have a ton to talk about with abbreviations today. Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Ah, yeah. All right, so first of all, we defined at the very beginning of the podcast what abbreviations are, but people maybe have heard different terms for this. Like you might have heard people use a more colloquial term like shortenings or something like that. Or you might have heard a term called acronyms, and acronyms are quite similar to abbreviations. So what's the difference between those two terms, Andrea?
Yeah, so today we're going to be focusing on abbreviations a bit more because they tend to be the ones that we use a lot more. So they'll be more useful for you. Abbreviations are also a bit more complex because there are different types, but generally they can be formed from the first letters of the word or phrase. Like in the intro, in the summary, we spoke about FYI and ASAP as meaning for your information and as soon as possible. And so in these cases, we say them by spelling out each letter. So another example is PC that we use for personal computer. I just realized this one has two meanings as well. It could also mean politically correct, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. What does it mean if something is politically correct or not politically correct? Or as we might say, it's not PC.
Yeah, it's like when you're talking about a topic with other people, you kind of want to be careful. For example, we say maybe don't talk about politics at work or with people you don't know very well because it's not very PC. It could be a bit controversial. You might end up offending someone and it's not the best thing to do.
Yeah. It's something people, at least I'm not sure if it's the same in the UK, but people have gotten very sensitive to this in the US, in some cases maybe overly sensitive, but it is something like culturally that you need to be aware of if you go there, especially in any formal situation, like in the workplace, just be careful what you say because you don't want to say something that's not PC. So it's really interesting too, the first definition you said that's like personal computer, because that's one of those things that's such a commonplace item nowadays to say PC that many of us like don't even know what those letters stand for anymore, right? You just think like PC.
Yeah, it's true. You just say the words and you're not really thinking, oh, this is a personal computer. Like right. It makes sense that it's a PC. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what about acronyms?
Yeah, so acronyms are words which are formed from the first letters of other words, but they're pronounced as full words. This is the difference. So abbreviations, we actually say those letters, but in acronyms, we say them as a word. So for example, NATO stands for North Atlantic Treaty Organization, but we don't say N-A-T-O, we say NATO.
There's also one that we saw that was quite shocking to us because we didn't even realize it was an acronym, but SCUBA. What does SCUBA stand for?
Yeah, so like scuba diving, SCUBA stands for Self-Contained Underwater Breathing Apparatus.
That's pretty crazy. It's like I never would have guessed, but it makes sense because it's kind of a strange word.
Yeah.
And we both said a phrasal verb there that's really good for talking about acronyms and abbreviations. We said stand for, which means what do the letters, what's kind of like the words that those letters are shortened for, right?
Yeah. So each letter represents a word.
Right.
So that's, what it stands for.
That's a better way of saying it, that it represents. So it's another way you could say it.
And another example of an acronym is SATS. Tests. So sometimes we say SATs, sometimes we might say the SATs tests. I think you have these in the US as well. They are standard attainment tests. I think that's what they are called. Well, that's what the letters stand for in the UK. I'm not sure if it's the same in the US.
I'm not sure what they stand for. So we have a test called the SAT, which is an abbreviation, I guess, not an acronym. And there's two, there's the SATs and the ACTs. And it kind of depends on what school you go to, what state you live in, which one you take, but they're the two standardized tests that universities look at for admissions. So you need to get a good score on these to get into the university of your choice. But I'm not sure if that's the standard attainment test, if that stands for the same thing or if it's something else, but I'm sure it's something about standard or standardized as they're both standardized tests.
Yeah, that's interesting because this is one where you would use it as an acronym and we'd have it as an abbreviation. In the UK, we say SATs, and they're tests taken by school children in the UK. I think they're getting rid of it now, but children start taking them as young as 7, and then again at age 11, and then I think again at age 14 until they do their full qualifications, like towards the end of high school.
Yeah, I think we wouldn't use an abbreviation for that. I think we just would say, or an acronym, sorry. We would just say standardized tests.
Okay.
But that's very common too for any of those kind of tests that they would be abbreviations because you have, or acronyms, because you have like, for example, the MCATs. I don't know if it's the same name in the UK, but that's like the standardized test that you have to take to get into medical school. There's the LSATs, which are That's similar to the one you were saying in the UK, but that's an acronym that's for the test that people have to take to get into law school.
And then you have in English language learning, you've got IELTS and TOEFL.
Right. And those are all acronyms as well.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
So maybe we could talk about some of the most common abbreviations that people could run into. And it's useful to know this, I think, as well, because when you see an acronym, or if you're wanting to say an acronym, you'd know that you're supposed to like pronounce it like what it spells. But if you see an abbreviation, typically, I'd say like 99% of the time, you're not going to say it right. So it's useful to be able to differentiate.
Definitely. So one that you've probably come across a lot, especially when searching online websites, maybe you need to troubleshoot if you're having some technical issues or you're not finding the information you need, you would look for the FAQs.
Yes. So that stands for frequently asked questions. And this is kind of funny because they'll use it, like here, they'll even use that. But I imagine they probably don't know what it stands for, but they just know that it's like for frequent questions.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I didn't think of that.
It almost sounds like, but here I think they will say it like an acronym, like fax. So it sounds like a FAX in English, like a fax machine or something like that.
Yeah.
So keep in mind in English, even if you do use this term in your language, keep in mind in English that it should be an abbreviation. So it should be said letter by letter, FAQs. and the Q in plural FAQs.
Yeah. And then the next one is really useful for when you're inviting people to a party, maybe it's a wedding, and you need to reply to let them know if you are going to attend or not. And this is used as RSVP.
I think it's from French. I think it's Répondez-vous, s'il vous plaît, or something like Répondez, s'il vous plaît.
Oh, yes, it is.
Something like that. We have a lot of those in English as well, right? That come from French or come from other languages. And we're going to talk about some other ones later. But that one's really good to know too, because I don't know if you're living in an English-speaking country and you get an invitation to a party, especially one, like you said, like a formal party, like a wedding, it is very likely that it'll say RSVP, please, or RSVP by and some date. And so if you didn't know what that means, maybe you could be a little bit lost that you needed to actually confirm your attendance.
Yes, definitely. You always have a deadline by when you need to RSVP. And this one's really interesting because, as you mentioned, that it is French. Like, I wouldn't even... Like, we really had to talk about it to know what each letter stands for, because it would just never be said in English. You just always say RSVP. And I'm sure a lot of people don't know what each letter stands for.
I think most Americans wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the next one?
The next one is ETA. So like, maybe you've got a meeting with someone and they're messaging you and they say, oh, I'm running late, or I'm on my way. And someone might say, oh, what's your ETA?
Right. So that stands for estimated time of arrival. But when you say it all out, to me, it sounds like super technical, like you're in the military or something like that. You know, that like, but we use it all the time just in casual English. Like, I remember when my parents visited a few weeks ago and I texted them because I wanted to know their ETA to arrive at my house from the airport once they got the taxi. So it's something that we'll use all the time in when we're speaking or often in messaging, texting.
Yeah. And also if you're tracking a flight, maybe if your family is coming, if you go on the airport websites as well, it might say ETA,
right?
Because they don't know exactly the time that it will arrive, but it's estimated that it will be at this time.
Right. They're pretty good at estimating most of the time.
Yeah.
So the next one we have on here is maybe something that people got very used to doing during COVID, and it's DIY.
Yeah. So this one is used so much because it just takes too long to say do it yourself, which is what it means. So you might hear people talking about the fact that they love doing DIY around the house, or, you know, some families, maybe they like to call someone in, like a professional, to come in and do some work in their house. But other people like to do it themselves. So we call that DIY.
Right. And you might find tons of videos on YouTube as well that say like DIY coaster. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Like, coasters where you would put your cup on so that you don't stain like a table, like a wood table or something like that. So maybe you'd watch a video on how to do DIY crafts, like anything like that you want to make around the house. And I think the reason I said in COVID is a lot of people were stuck at home, and so doing sort of DIY activities became quite a popular way to pass the time. In the US, there was a bunch of memes and jokes about making bread. Like, tons of people started making bread at home, you know?
Yeah, I saw those things as well. I think it was popular in the UK too. And in the UK as well, there are a lot of DIY shows that are really popular, especially on daytime TV. Yeah. So there's lots of like where they do the house makeovers and things like that. And they're working with a professional, but a lot of the time the homeowners or friends and family are doing the work themselves as well. So it's like DIY.
All right. And the next one could be useful. A lot of, it reminds me of like the 90s chat rooms a little bit, but maybe you still use it sometimes. I even hear people say it sometimes on TV series. So what is that?
Yeah, TMI. I think this one is used a lot even in conversation now, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, especially kids, I don't know, but we'll say this to their parents, like, too much information, TMI.
Exactly. Yeah. So depending on the topic of conversation, maybe someone is talking to you about something really personal, or maybe something a bit gross and not so nice, maybe toilet habits or something like that. And you say TMI, like, stop now.
That's a great one and a very good example. Do you want to share the next one, Andrea?
Yeah, the next one you'll probably see a lot maybe when you're filling out forms, whether mm-hmm. it's online or on paper, especially maybe if you're applying for jobs, things like that. So DOB is often abbreviated and it stands for date of birth.
Yeah, that's one, like you said, any sort of bureaucratic form, you'll probably see that. And it's something to note here too, is depending on the country you're in, it can be really good idea to pay attention to the letters that come after, because usually if you're in the States, for example, it'll say MMDDYYYY, four Ys. I think I said four Ys. But because the format is different, in the US we do month, day, year. So if you flipped, most of the world does it day, month, year, which I think makes a lot more sense because it's smallest to biggest. I don't know why we do middle, small, big, but that's another topic. But it can be useful to pay attention to that, because I think when I first moved to Europe, for example, sometimes I would fill out these forms wrong, like saying that my birthday was the 10th of September instead of the 9th of October, because I was confused by that. Now it's the opposite happens to me when I go to the US oftentimes. So when you get one of those forms on the plane, right, for immigration, and you fill that out, sometimes I have to get a new one because I completely forget to do the month before the day in the United States.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's a really good tip as well. Keep that in mind.
All right. And on forms as well, you could maybe, if you have an alias, if you have another name, maybe you'd see something that says AKA.
Yeah, so AKA stands for also known as.
Right. So are there any good examples that you can think of this? Sometimes there's celebrities that will have a stage name, right? And you might say like their real name and then AKA and then the stage name, AKA Cher, for example. Well, I just recently watched the movie Dune, and there's Zendaya, and she doesn't have technically a last name, but she must have a last name, right? Everyone has a last name, but as her stage name, she just goes by Zendaya. Mm. So there must be some name and she's AKA Zendaya.
That's true. And maybe it could be true as well of certain organizations maybe, or businesses, especially maybe if they're going through a change and they're changing their name and they still kind of want both to be recognized while everyone gets up to date.
Right. I think too, it reminds me a lot of professional wrestling, that they always tend to have like, you know, crazy names. Like there's Dwayne Johnson, AKA The Rock, one of the most famous ones.
Yeah, that's a really good example. Yeah.
Do you want to share the next one?
Yeah, the next one is not the nicest, but it does, I mean, you might hear it. So it's BO, which stands actually for body odor.
Yes, that is something you do not want someone to tell you, that you have BO or you have bad BO.
Yeah, because sometimes maybe, especially in summer, you're walking around and you're like, oh, I can smell BO. Or
riding on the subway.
Yeah, definitely. On the London Underground, and when it's mm-hmm. so crammed, and then people have their hands up because they're holding on the rail, and then you like get stuck by someone's armpit.
Right.
Yeah. It's the worst.
That's pretty horrible. Or if you're in a locker room, for example, at the gym, it's just like a lingering smell of BO constantly.
Yeah. So that's when, you know, when some people sweat a lot, and maybe it's something they can't control. Maybe they are using, you know, deodorant and things like that to help combat it. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes, you know, especially in summer when it's so hot and just throughout the day, your deodorant stops working and you can end up having BO.
Right. And this is a better word to use probably than if it's, usually if you don't have a good relationship with someone, you're not going to tell them this. But if you do have kind of like that, if you do have a close relationship with someone that enough where you could tell them this, then it's probably a little bit nicer to say like you have BO than to say you stink.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe if you're really close, like you're, I don't know, your brother or sister, then you might just go all out and just say you stink. But with a friend or something, maybe you don't want to come across as offensive.
Yes, for sure.
All right. The next one hits close to home, I think, for our listeners, right?
Yes. We couldn't have a podcast episode on abbreviations and not include this. So we have ESL and EFL.
Right. And that's English as a second language and English as a foreign language, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. That probably doesn't require too much more explanation because I'm sure people have seen it. The next one, a bit of a sad one, but you might see it on a tombstone if you go to the cemetery, for example, and it's RIP. And I remember when I was a kid, I just like associated this with Halloween or something because you always see it on, if people are decorating their house, say for Halloween, they might have a fake tombstone. That's like the piece of rock that, is above a grave where someone dead is, and people might decorate their lawn with this or something to make it look spooky, to make it look scary for Halloween, and it would say RIP. But when I was a kid, I didn't know what that stood for. I just thought like RIP. And what does it stand for, Andrea?
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So actually, it's kind of like a nice thing, I suppose, to put on a tombstone.
Yeah, because it's the person's resting place. And so you say rest in peace. You've probably also seen it a lot on social media, like when a celebrity passes. Recently, Gunther from Friends passed, and you can see on lots of threads, people would write RIP, and that's what they mean, rest in peace. It's like a way of saying, you know, you're sorry for the loss and some sort of wish for them to now be peaceful.
Not to be confused with the next one, which is, I think people will probably know this because it's, again, it's one that's used in a lot of different languages, but that's a VIP.
Yeah. I wonder if in some countries people would say VIP, but in English we don't. We say VIP and it stands for very important person.
Right. There's a restaurant here, in fact, that's called Beeps, like VIP, but they say it's like Beep.
Yeah,
that's a very important person. That's like a section you might find, for example, in a club, the VIP section, or you might say that someone's a VIP. We have like a VIP visiting the company or something like this to say that it's someone who in some way is very important to the company.
Yeah, and it just reminded me as well of MVP, which is used a lot in sports.
Something else you could get confused with.
Yeah, and that stands for most valuable player.
Right.
And I think there are awards for this each season and stuff, isn't there? Like in basketball and different sports.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. The next one is TBA. What does TBA stand for?
Yeah, so maybe you have an event to go to and there is some information. So maybe they're giving you some of the information so that you can start making plans, but certain things haven't been decided yet. So TBA would be used and it means to be announced.
To be announced, right. You might see that like a lot of advertisements or something as well, right? Like, for example, maybe a movie or something, they haven't announced the release date yet. So it might say like, you know, release date TBA.
Exactly. Or your favorite singer or band is going to start touring and the locations, like the cities of where they'll be performing are announced, but not the dates yet. So they would say dates to TBA, dates to be announced.
Right. That could be useful. Maybe if you're seeing some English or American person, singer touring in your city or band, and maybe you'll see the program in English. So it could be good to know that. All right. We just have a couple more. So the next one we are recording anyway is on a Friday. So this one's very appropriate.
Yes, TGIF.
TGIF. So that's thank God it's Friday, right?
It is, yeah. And there is a restaurant. I don't know. Do you still have it in the States? It was really popular growing up in the UK as well. TGI Fridays.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that is. It's like a popular restaurant chain in the USA as well.
Yeah, we grew up with that chain as well. Like we'd go there for birthdays and things like that, like a proper American kind of diner.
And I think there's a Katy Perry song as well, right? Called TGIF. Mm.
Yeah,
or is it Friday night, last Friday? I don't know if that's two different songs. Maybe I'm confusing. Last Friday night.
Yeah, but she does, if she it is in that. Last Friday night, she refers to TGIF. Yeah, it's in the song. Mm.
So now you know what that's for. Another one we didn't have on the list, but it just made me think of it because maybe you get invited to a party on a Friday night and the invitation might say, or your friend might text you, BYOB. Do you know that one?
Yeah, bring your own bottle.
Yeah, or bring your own beer, for example.
Okay.
So
yeah, so that means that drinks won't be provided there. You need to take your own.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
For a BBQ, maybe if you get invited to a BBQ, and it might say you have to BYOB.
Yeah, sometimes there might be so many. Like it's kind of like a puzzle, you know, that you have to figure out these meanings.
And a BBQ is a barbecue. That's most often when you see barbecue written, it's written as BBQ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've even seen BYOC, which means bring your own chair. If it's like something like a picnic or something like that, you know, that you're going to be in the park, that you need to bring your own thing to sit on, whatever it is. Or maybe a sporting event sometimes too. Like kids soccer games, you have to BYOC.
I've never seen that one before. It must be more American, but it's interesting.
It's probably quite American, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have one more, right?
Yes, we have PM and AM. So you'll see this one a lot. You'll probably write it maybe if you have meetings, you're trying to arrange meetings with people.
Yeah, we don't really use military time in the US. I'm not sure if you use it in the UK very much, like saying 1600 or 16 o'clock instead of 4 p.m.
Yeah, we don't use that.
So that's something my parents are always very confused about when they come here, because it's just something that's very commonplace here, but that you never see because we use p.m., a.m. But I'm not sure. Do you know what that stands for?
Yeah, so it's post-meridian and what's that?
Ante-meridian or something?
Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure, but meridian is to do with the middle of the day. I guess if it comes from Latin, maybe that's the term used for like what we say as noon. So before is AM, ante-meridian, and post-meridian would be after. And that's how if you're using like the 12-hour clock, then we have it for AM and PM rather than the 24-hour clock.
So definitely an important thing to get straight, because I know a lot of times people will say, for example, 12 p.m., thinking midnight instead of midday. So midday is 12 p.m. and midnight is 12 a.m. So like the clock restarts over at 12 a.m. in the morning. So we might also say like 12 in the morning, right? As a way to separate those, or 1 in the morning. So definitely be careful with those. Don't confuse those. I've seen learners do that all the time. And maybe even you could even practice that by changing your phone to the 12-hour clock if it's something that you're wanting to get more in contact with.
Definitely.
All right. So for some written abbreviations, individual letters or sounds from the word are used, even though the word is always said in full. So a good example of this is how someone who's a medical professional, who's graduated from medical school, or I suppose even for professors, you can use this. Anyone who has their doctorate is a doctor, but will often abbreviate this in writing to DR or to put before their name, right?
Yeah, especially when writing to a doctor, or even if you're looking up a doctor on the internet, you never really see like Dr. Smith or something. It will be D, a capital D, and then a lowercase r. So That's an abbreviation, but we say the full word.
Right. And that's pretty similar to how you might say Mr., Miss, Mrs., right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. So Mr. would be fully spelled M-I-S-T-E-R, but it's always written as M-R, capital M, lowercase r, Mr. Smith. Yeah.
Well, we just looked this up and actually we were wrong because MR we were thinking is for Mr., but it actually stands for master, like the master of the house, right? And the female equivalent of that is mistress. And that's why it's MRS. That's why there's that extra R in there. Don't confuse this with like the actual word mistress. We don't use usually for a married woman. We often use that for like the person a man's having an affair with, right?
Yeah, that's so strange because like this is just another example of how, you know, we use these words so much, mm-hmm. but we don't actually really know like the full version of it and what it means.
Exactly.
Because yeah, a mistress, like you said, it's definitely not the wife. It's the one
exactly.
that the guy's fooling around with.
So MRS, that's pronounced Mrs., and that's a married woman, and Miss is a single woman. But I think nowadays, especially we talked about PC culture, mm-hmm. right? I think to be more PC, people tend to default to Miss nowadays, at least in the USA.
Yeah, the MS one.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know, right? If she's married or not.
Definitely, yeah. In the UK, it would be the same as well, just to avoid offending anyone, or if you don't know, yeah, it's a good alternative.
It does just seem like a little bit sexist, you know, that there's two terms for women, but there's not two terms for men. You know, you don't have like an abbreviation for a single man and a married man just for a woman. So I imagine that's why it became more politically correct just to say miss if you're unsure.
Yeah, it's probably one of those things that just stems down from history, I guess, with how, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's the same in the US, but historically in the UK, and even now, when women get married, they take their husband's surname. So that's when they change from being a miss to a Mrs. So like, for example, I was Miss Stilianu, but I would now be Mrs. Pandia. I haven't actually changed my name yet just because the bureaucracy in Spain would take so long. But people still do it in the UK.
Yeah. But now it's become quite trendy, quite popular for women to either keep their own name or sometimes, I don't know if this happens in the UK as well, but in the US, sometimes they'll actually hyphenate, which means you put a hyphen, like a dash, between the two last names. And so like the child would have the last name of both parents, which is a little bit like in Spanish-speaking countries, right? Mm. That they maintain the mother and the father's name. But it actually, in the US, it changes the last name. So the two together are the full last name, and usually the man and the woman will also change their name to the hyphenated of their two last names.
Yeah, it's nice now that people like have more of a choice, because I guess back in the day, it would have been harder. You kind of maybe didn't have a choice and it was just the way it was. Yeah.
Great. So there's tons more abbreviations. So Andrea is going to do a live, first of all, teaching you the rest of what we wanted to teach in this podcast, but we've just gone on rambling about it. There's so much to talk about with abbreviations. And then we also have a 1-2 over on Instagram for this podcast, right?
We do, yes. Yeah. So if you want to learn about some abbreviations for university degrees, then head on over to Instagram at reallife.english and I'll be teaching you all about that there.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us here on the Real Life English podcast. And we look forward to seeing you next week. 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.